got my next guest here, and that's Tim Miller, the founder and CEO, amongst other things, of Lids for Kids. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks very much, Glenn. I really appreciate the invitation to come on Valley FM.
No, it's good to have you here. Now, as I was just saying to Tim off air, I was just refreshing myself this morning before the interview about what Lids for Kids was all about, and it only started in 2019 as a backyard operation, and it's now a national charity. Do you want to just give us a 30-second snapshot of the last 6 years?
Yeah, sure. So back in 2019, I was fundraising for kids' charities by doing Outback charity rallies like Variety Bash, Camp Colony Escapade and the like. And the way we fundraised was by collecting the 10-cent bottles and cans. Mm-hmm. So when you cash in those 10-cent bottles and cans, you've got to take the lids off, and quickly accrued quite a number of lids. And when I went to recycle them, I found out they couldn't be recycled. And it wasn't because, which is the case, that the plastic lid off a plastic bottle is a different type of plastic. It came down to the size. So, and it's not just the ACT. Every state government in Australia, their recycling systems just can't process anything smaller than a credit card. So the very short story is, I put a post up on Facebook that said, hey, if you get your small plastic lids to me, I'll get them somewhere where they can go. I just didn't anticipate the share button being used on Facebook. And the second mistake I made was I put my home address on the post. So 800,000 views later, my yard quickly got filled up with lids, but we've kept pace with it. And fast forwarding 5 years now, marriage still intact, all the lids out of my own house and garage, which is great, but we have a permanent setup and a community recycling education centre out at Fishwick that's now open 7 days a week.
Yeah, I do actually remember, it's hard to think it's six years ago, I do actually remember seeing those posts and thinking, oh, that was an interesting idea and whatever, and didn't really imagine the scale that it would get to, and so on. And then you mentioned you've done over 100 million lids, but the other thing that really struck me as I was looking at the website this morning is you're about a whole lot more than just the recycling. Yeah, there's an education dimension, there's a social dimension, there's an employment dimension. It's a multifaceted organisation now.
Yeah, very much so. And I think that was a happy accident that came out of it, was that especially heading in and then out of COVID, people that were experiencing social isolation and a lot of people that had left work, like myself, due to chronic illness, still wanted to be able to have a meaningful way to give back to the community. And once we found a home, which is our community centre that we've got out next, it's just next to the Fishwick Markets on Canberra Avenue, because anybody can drop in for as little or as long as they like. We run education programs for schools and Lions clubs and other Rotary and Provost community service organisations. We host hands-on workshops for scout groups and workplaces that want to come through and do team building exercises. But the other thing that's quite exciting for us is we've expanded the Lids for Kids program into a full-blown Zero Waste Warrior program, where nationwide we now take everything smaller than a credit card. So with the likes of milk bottle lids and water bottle lids and soft drink bottle lids that we all use every week, we got to thinking, well, what are all the other everyday household products that each and every one of us use every week that also don't get recycled? And we realised it was bread tags, it was corks, it was beer bottle tops and wine lids, but it was also nuts, bolts, screws, nails, washers, light bulbs, blister packs, the little pop packs from your medicine, even down to texters and pens and staples and paper clips. And it just went on and on and on. And so what we've got now is a membership-based program that helps us fund where we are, because we now, due to being a bit of a victim of our own success, we've gone from one unit in Fishwick to four units in Fishwick, and they're all co-located. And it is a drop-in centre, so families or adults with young people with a disability or people that want to bring their grandparents out and say, hey, look, we know you love gardening, but do you want to see if you can get your hands on in a men's shed type scenario? Yep. And whilst I do call it a men's shed, it's really a plastic shed, and with quite a lot of men and women helping us recycle stuff. But the best part is that all of the material that we collect through our Zero Waste Warrior tub can be recycled, can be separated. And I guess I joke that this is the third mistake I made, was I got tired during those first few years of loading up my FC Holden in a trailer and driving millions upon millions of lids out to Adelaide and Melbourne and Sydney to get recycled. So we started up our own recycling centre. So we now have the only small plastic recycling facility within 300 kilometres. And we're making outdoor furniture, park benches, picnic tables. We've also started making the world's first recycled plastic skateboard, where we're partnered with another social enterprise called Endless. Garden supplies, homewares, everything you can think of that can be made out of wood, we can make out of recycled plastic.
So you sort of skated over that at quite a rapid rate at Knox, but there were some really big things in there. You're running a factory. Mm. You're running sort of a men's shed at a conceptual level, but it's not just a men's shed. You're running an education sort of program. You're running what might otherwise be a conference centre, where you're bringing in groups for team building and all that kind of thing. That's a phenomenal range of activities for you know, I said what was just you a couple of years ago in this short amount of time. How many volunteers have you got running this enterprise?
Thanks, Glenn, for raising that. It's probably the thing that we're most proud of. We have literally hundreds upon hundreds of volunteers that help us out across 12 different working groups, ranging from the collection, the sorting, the washing, the drying, and the manufacturing. So we've probably got a core group of about 150 that come in just for 3 or 4 hours a month. And that's all we're asking for, not a large commitment. We're always looking for more volunteers, because whilst we have rescued, it's getting up to nearly 140 million lids now through our centre. We're just looking for volunteers that are happy to spare a couple hours, either once a week or once a month to come in. But it's not the same thing any time, because sometimes I just need help colour sorting. Yeah. And I'm colourblind, so I need a lot of help colour sorting. But it's the main thing that we wanted to provide, a venue where people that just wanted to do something small for a few hours a month, where it really made a meaningful impact to the community. And we've found that just through the mental health benefits and the social benefits that you get through volunteering with any charity, it's not just exclusive to Lids for Kids, the benefits that you get from joining a group of like-minded people, whether it's through Landcare or Lions or a walking group or a dog foster care group, it's very much the same. You get a real good sense of well-being.
So what's your sort of age and gender mix amongst that cohort?
Yep, I must admit we are leaning fairly heavily towards the female side. We find that the girls really have a lot to offer and really do make the time to come out and help us out. So I'd say we're a good two-thirds female to one-third male split. And then as far as our regular volunteers, because it is during the day, Monday to Friday, our demographic during the week is very much retired people. But we also get another probably 40% of our group is young people under the age of 30 that come in with their support workers and their carers that are neurodivergent. So they either have intellectual disabilities or physical disabilities, but still very, very much capable of giving back in some way and doing something. And the thing we love about the Zero Waste Warrior program and with sorting all of this stuff, it's not patronising busy work. Mm-hmm. Every single item these guys and girls touch gets turned into something. And the exciting thing that we get to show all of the school students that come in every week, and we do get a lot of young people coming through on the weekends as well, is that they under one roof, they get to see the journey from a lid to colour sorted, shredded, melted and turned into a product all within 1 hour. It's pretty satisfying.
Yeah, that is quite a... I remember back to my old school days and whatever, to see how a production line works. Mm. It's quite... sort of mind-bending in a way to see something that doesn't look anything like the finished product at this end turn into something, at the other end, just by going through these various processes.
And that's what it comes down to. People just want to close the loop on their recycling, because there's a sense of hollowness, I guess, when as a family you might be committed to the environment and sustainability and reducing your plastic waste and consumption as much as you possibly can. And you can feel quite proud when you walk down to the end of the driveway, and compared to previous years, you might only put a very minimal amount in your landfill bin, and you get to feel quite proud about how much goes into the recycling bin. But you also get a little bit demoralized that so much of it is just the packaging and often unnecessary packaging that comes in, but that you can't help it. When you go to the supermarket or these big box stores, it's cardboard upon cardboard, it's plastic upon plastic. But the thing we love about Lids for Kids is that it's not just putting it in this mystery box of what we call wish cycling and then hoping it gets recycled. If your family or your small business or your school gets yourself one of our Zero Waste Warrior tubs, it's a swap and go program, no different to getting a gas bottle. You $29 membership fee, you get yourself a tub. It's got a sticker on the front of all the things you can put into it. And we've now got 30 locations all around the ACT where you can swap those tubs and then keep going. Those tubs, when they get in, that every lid that comes out of that and all of the other products that we sort is going to make it to where it needs to go, and particularly for schools that buy our buddy benches or our rainbow kindness benches, or small businesses that buy a big picnic bench in their corporate colours, they know that for every 15 to 25,000 lids that they've, say, rescued through their cafe, they can point to a bench now and say, that bench has 25,000 lids in it. And not only did we recycle them, we bought the product to close the loop, because it's all very well and good to send stuff off to get recycled, but if no one's buying the stuff that's getting made out of recycled material, what's the point?
Yeah, so again, you just mentioned there the buddy benches or whatever, the things that the schools are buying. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that concept and how they're being used?
Yeah, of course. So you can probably imagine when we announced that lids didn't get recycled, and it wasn't a secret or a conspiracy, just nobody knew, but it's something simple that schools can do, because obviously with kids taking drinks from home and through school canteens, and the 10 cent refund program or the CDS scheme is a fantastic way for schools to fundraise. So they do get a lot of lids, but the bit that they love about the Buddy Bench program, if for those that aren't aware of it, a Buddy Bench program is an individual colourful bench in the playground that is a non-verbal, non-stigma cue that for any kid that's feeling lonely or anxious or isolated and just wants a friend to either play with or talk to, they can go and sit on this bench, and then that's like I'm sitting here at the radio studio with the on air, the big bright red on air sign. That's a signal to all the other kids in the playground that little kid is just looking for someone to talk to. They're feeling a little bit lonely or just want to play with someone, and that's why they're called a buddy bench. So that program's not new, it's been around for decades, it's worldwide, but the thing where we're quite proud of is the schools can now buy a beautifully coloured, whether it's rainbow or in their school uniform colours or their house colours, put one of these benches in the school. But not only does it make the kids feel great, the kids also know that that bench represents their giving, their collective volunteering, their hard work of rescuing those lids throughout the year pays off in a bench that can then go back into the school that they can use.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, because as I said at the beginning, you're a sort of a multi-dimensional organisation, but there are just so many layers upon layers upon layers in everything that you're doing. You know, who would have thought a water bottle top could find its way into a bench that's helping, you know, kids overcome social isolation, or getting a friend when they're feeling a little bit down. It's a really good outcome. There was one other thing you mentioned, and I can't remember exactly what it was. It was something like the buddy bench, but there was a...
So if anyone's gone out to Floriade in the last 5 years, we do a lot of picnic tables and picnic benches and little sets where you might have two single seats and a cute little coffee table. So it's all about the outdoor furniture for us, because it's all very well and good to, and we do this all the time, to recycle plastic into pens and rulers and clipboards that kids can use at school, which is quite functional, or turn it into a cute little keyring or a shopping trolley hack token. But the thing for us is we want the plastic that's getting rescued and turned into something to get used for decades and decades and decades, because we all know that if this plastic goes to landfill, which it does at the moment, it's going to be sitting in the ground for thousands of years. So to put all of that effort in, but to make it worthwhile so many, many hundreds and thousands of people can enjoy it, we love the idea of making that outdoor furniture and playground equipment so that everybody can enjoy it, everyone can see it, and it can last for decades to come.
Yeah. Now, you recycle the lids on site, the plastic, you've got a muncher or whatever up there, and moulds and all that kind of thing.
Yep.
But what about all the other things that you collect in that in those tubs?
Yep. Yeah, so everything goes somewhere. And I guess the thing that we're looking for is particularly those hard-to-recycle items. So in particular, bread tags. A great success story out of bread tags is more and more we're seeing the compostable paper-based ones, so they don't have to be recycled, but there's still a lot of plastic ones out there. They go off to a charity called Plastic Bread Tags for Wheelchairs, who collect them all Australia-wide, and then they sell that plastic to a group called Transmutation in South Australia, who are making beautiful fruit bowls and chopping boards and placemats and coasters. So it's a double win for that one, because not only are all the bread tags getting rescued and turning into homewares that people can buy and use, but the funds raised through the sale of that plastic then go directly to purchasing wheelchairs for people in disadvantaged countries. And then also other items like blister packs that we all use, those medicine pop pills, they can't get recycled readily because quite often they're half plastic, half aluminium. So they get taken up to a group in Sydney called Pharmacycle, who then have a non-chemical process of separating those. And the good thing with those is that that's taking a hard-to-recycle product, getting it to a group that can do it through lids beds for kids through our tubs, and then those guys are making car parking bollards and aluminium windows and door frames for the building industry. Another example is corks. All of the corks off your champagne bottles and the like get recycled through another program where they're chopping those up, and a lot of them get used as compost in gardens, but some are also getting repurposed straight back into cork boards and placemats and coasters as well. The batteries that we collect, I was a couple of minutes late coming in here, Glenn, because we had the B-Cycle guy come in to collect up those. They all get sent to Melbourne as part of the same program that's keeping all of the batteries out of Lamphill. But important thing about batteries, which I must admit I only learnt this year, is that you can't put batteries, household batteries, in your landfill red lid bin or your recycling bin. They can only go through a designated drop-off point. And you would have seen them at Coles and Woolies and Bunnings and the like. So a large part of it is also eyeglasses going off the Lions for Sight program, toothbrushes and toothpaste tubes that we collect going off for the Colgate recycling program. And what we're trying to do is make it easy for every household, because not only do a lot of people still work full-time, they don't have time to go off to all of these different locations to drop them off. A lot of people are retired and, you know, don't have the time and the will to drive to five different locations. So the whole point of us is having a one-stop commingled tub that they can put everything in the household into. And the way that we've raised it for the ACT government, who are currently rolling out their FOGO program, which is a food organic garden organic tub that they're trialling for the last couple of years, is so that every household will be able to collect their organic food waste. We're tongue-in-cheek, we're racing them. If we can get our Zero Waste Warrior tub out to all households before that, then every household will have four tubs. They'll have their landfill bin, they'll have their recycling bin, they'll have the bin that they can put all of their household organic food waste in with their garden green waste, and then our Zero Waste Warrior tub is designed to take all of those other everyday household items that can't go into the other three, so that nothing is unnecessarily going to landfill.
Mm. It's quite a big undertaking. You know, in a city the size of Canberra, let alone, you know, the other cities, which does take us that point you made. You're now a national organisation. So what does that look like?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when Lids for Kids first went viral, we had over 70,000 people spontaneously start collecting lids all over the country, and indeed 34 other countries. I think the lids we got from furthest away were from Afghanistan. The American Air Force Base in Kabul sent lids by the Australian Air Force back to Darwin for us. But it just became unmanageable, in that if you imagine every mum and dad and child and grandparent collecting lids in the country and then trying to get them to Canberra. The last thing we wanted was to offset or counteract the benefit of rescuing all this plastic from landfill. And it is literally tons upon tons upon tons. For those out there thinking lids don't make a difference, once they add up, they sure do. But we didn't want any unnecessary carbon footprint of everyone driving around. So what we've done now is, and it's about 9 months ago, we launched a mail-in program. So it's the exact same Zero Waste Warrior program. We've commissioned the manufacturing of a recycled fabric bag about the size of a small suitcase that takes the same quantity as our Zero Waste Warrior tubs. And anybody, if you've got friends or family living anywhere else in Australia, they can go to our website, which is lids4kids.org.au, and they can order one of these Zero Waste Warrior bags to be posted out to their door. And it comes with a reply paid sticker to put straight back on the bag and bring it back to us in Fishwick, where we sort them all. And the best part about it is, because it's made out of recycled fabric, we're avoiding the use of all of those single-use plastic satchels that you get from Australia Post. Mm-hmm. Because we knew we could use thousands upon thousands of those, but again, we didn't want to be rescuing plastic and creating an unnecessary use of single-use plastic through the bag. So the great thing about our fabric bags, they can get used over and over and over and over again, and then when they finally do get to their end of their life, they're completely recyclable as well. So that's one thing we're quite proud of, that for the whole entire country, we're not creating any unnecessary trips, because it's all getting done through the existing Australia Post program. The only downside is when people pay their $39 for this reply paid satchel that they can put all these recycling in, $36 out of that $39 is just the postage. So our charity, just so people, because they're a little bit of sticker shock, we only make $3 out of it. But for us, that's not the point. Yeah. It's trying to prevent as much of these household items from going to landfill unnecessarily.
Yeah, I mean, just as you're talking about all that, it did strike me that, as well as these other multifaceted or elements of this multifaceted organisation, you're actually a thought leader in the whole recycling community, because you're coming up with concepts and ideas that people probably hadn't ever previously thought of, and shaping their both their thinking and their behaviour, you know, way beyond, you know, Canberra. It's a, to me, to be known about and get action coming from Afghanistan is pretty staggering.
Amazing.
I mean, that's the, that's like the headline place, but I'm sure there's lots of others as well. How do you, you're saying you've got a core of about 150 volunteers. It sounds as though everything else is just expanding, probably faster than your volunteer base. How are you sort of managing that?
Yeah, just I guess we I like that analogy because I'm looking at a big, beautiful print up here in your radio studio of Lake Taganong there. It's the duck. It's the duck floating on the water with all the little legs frantically paddling underneath. That it is literally just hundreds and hundreds of everyday mums and dads, kids and grandparents that are keeping this charity going. So the bit I love about it in particular, and I didn't, look, it didn't come out of my brain. I wasn't just sitting on the couch one day and say, I'm going to solve this small plastic waste problem. It's all of us together. And I think the thing that I love the most about it is that we all experience this sense of helplessness when we think of the sheer vastness of the plastic problem. When I launched Lids for Kids, it was around the same time that everyone was seeing those satellite images of that big plastic island in the middle of the Pacific the size of Texas. Southeast Asia was finally putting their foot down and saying, we're not going to take your plastic rubbish anymore. Stop sending it over to us in shipping containers because it's all contaminated. They couldn't sort it. And then the third and final catalyst was the reports were starting to come out where there's not a single living species left on Earth, including humans, that doesn't have microplastic inside it. And so when you have something simple come along that says, here's a way for you as the consumer of a plastic product to take responsibility for that, put it in a tub, get it to Lids for Kids, and even maybe even volunteer and help us make something out of it, it solves that responsibility of, look, there's the problem's so big, what can I do? There's something that quite literally every single one of us can do every day to make an impact. And for me personally, I was, like many people in Canberra, I was a normal, boring, suburban public servant for 25 years, and then I got diagnosed with a chronic incurable illness, so then was relegated to being the house dad. And not that that's a diminished thing, I can comfortably say that being a house dad or a house mum is way harder than working full time ever was. But I had that sense of wholeness that once the kids went to school, I was sitting there with a chronic incurable illness on the couch going, well, what can I do now? Like, I felt useful and valid as an employed person, but now that I'm retired, you know, I felt a bit helpless. But now I've found that with all of these charities, which Lids for Kids is just one of them, it's something that I can now go and do every day. I can go to the hub. There's dozens of other really lovely volunteers in the same boat as me that are retired or they're younger with a chronic illness or they're a stay-at-home parent looking for something to do during the week. And because it's so meaningful and you get such a sense of satisfaction of rescuing this stuff, and you know it could have ended up in a lake, it could have ended up in a river, it could have gone down a storm water drain, could have ended up in an animal. Having that sense that not only have I rescued, but I've made something with it. And there's no diminished part of it that with all of our volunteers, we've got volunteers picking the tubs up from Boost Juice before we can use them. We've got volunteers collecting the boxes from Canberra Hospital that the IV drip bags come in that we use by the thousands. We've got volunteers joining me. I've just come off 2 days of doing markets on Saturday and Sunday for the opening of the Hawker Men's Shed. You know, there's so many different ways of even just coming along to one of our stands at a market booth and teaching kids that they can do something. It's very, very satisfying. And I go home at the end of the day physically exhausted, but I feel like Elvis, like everybody loves what we're doing because they feel so great about what they've been able to contribute.
Yeah, and every little bit helps, whether you're doing a little bit or a lot, something simple or something complex, which sort of does bring me back to that volunteer base because it's all about volunteer opportunities as much as, you know, sort of demand for volunteers. So you've got people there who are doing the sorting and so on, collecting and whatever, but are there other particular skill sets that you need to help the machine run?
Yeah, very, very much so. So we could use comfortably another couple of hundred volunteers. So for everything that, it's not just sorting, and you can come and volunteer for Lids and never touch a lid. You might like to get involved with the workshop where we're literally manufacturing and assembling these things. So if you have a background in either, and you don't need any, I was about to say a background in engineering or working with wood, you don't need any experience at all. We can show you how to do all of it. So, but it's also like me, part of my fibromyalgia is I can't hold tools anymore. So I can't hold a screwdriver. I can't hold a hammer, but I can still help with the shredding. And then we also need a lot of help with admin. Anybody that can help us out with answering emails, anybody that can help us out in the office with creating invoices, anybody that can help us out on social media. Like we've got tens of thousands of followers on Facebook and YouTube and Pinterest and look, we don't have people to run our TikTok account, our Snapchat account and things like that. So if you're a young person that's really clever with social media and good with websites, we'd love to have you on board. We also need people to help us sell fundraising raffle tickets. We do a Bunnings barbecue every month. So there's lots of different ways where for as little, and I say this to everyone, even if you can just give us a couple hours a month, we would love to have you. We've got such a huge variety of volunteering opportunities and it's all on our website. We've got 50 different roles and tasks on our website. So if you go to lids4kids.org.au, click on ACT, you can see there where all of our swap and go locations are. So you can see where your tub can be swapped. You can see how to order a tub and become a member or order a satchel for your friends and family. But we've got another section there called volunteering with us that you can open and you can see all the individual little roles and tasks that need we need help with every month. And somebody might just say, well, look, I probably can't get out there. I don't have a car or public transport's a little difficult to me. Even if someone wants to sort lids at home, we can drop off boxes of lids for your house and then you can sit there with your young child or your grandparent or even just yourself. The whole Netflix and chill is very much Netflix and sort for us. We have lots and lots of volunteers that through being not quite physically mobile, we can drop off lids to you for you to sort at home.
Yes, I know. I did a little bit of that once stage last year with boxes of lids that I think they were off fruit juice containers or something. They had like that alfoil
or
silver thing inside. You had to, there was no machine that could separate that lining from the lid, so you would sit there and just pick it out with
the
things.
Yeah.
It's surprisingly therapeutic and you'd end up with thousands of lids sort of around you in the box and so on. It was
The one warning that we give all of our volunteers is that it's very addictive. That sense of accomplishment you get from even when people pop in, and so our hub is open. It's set up like a beautiful colourful plastic quest con for adults. There's a big classroom set up there where people that want to pop in, we bribe everyone with all the tea and coffee and chocky biscuits they can eat to come in and help us sort. Everyone is very much the same. They'll just come in and say, oh look, I'm just here to help out, and we'll give them a little basket of lids to sort, and afterwards they'll go, oh, I think I might just do one more basket and then I'll head off, and then they'll finish that and then they'll come up and they go, I think I'll just do one more basket, and then like six baskets later they've said, oh look, can I come back tomorrow? And we say, no, we don't want you to burn out. If you want to come back once a week, that's great. We don't need you to book. We don't need you to become on a roster or anything like that. It really is a drop-in centre where for as little or as long as you like, even if you've got interstate family that you would like to come in and bring them and show them, hey, come and find out how a bench gets made out of 25,000 Coke bottle lids, out of milk bottle lids. Come and see it happen. And then at any one of the stages there, when we give them the tour, you can volunteer at one of those discrete points in the stage to get involved.
So you can work from home. The stuff will even be delivered to you. If you're going to go to the drop-in centre, do you need a Working with Vulnerable People card?
Yes, that's a very, very good question. So to drop in and pick up lids to take home and sort, or to do any of our other activities that you can do from home, you don't need a Working with Vulnerable People card. To come in and try it for the first one or two times. But if you decide, yep, this is for me, I'd love to come in every Thursday for an hour, or I'd love to come in on the third Friday every month for the whole day. Mind you, a whole day for us is 10 to 2 because we've all got school kids to pick up and drop off and the like. You do need to apply for a Working with Vulnerable People card to work in the hub in the workshop. However, we know that process can take anywhere from 4 to 12 weeks between when you apply. So as long as you've applied, but all the people that volunteer, just as this for the info of people that would like to bring their young kids with disabilities, or even just we're open every weekend, we're open all throughout the school holidays to bring school age kids in as well. All of our volunteers do have the Working with Vulnerable People card that are staffed there. We've got disability ramps, full access, lots and lots of parking. We are a bit tricky to find because we're next to the Fishwick Fresh Food Markets, but we're on a little side access road. So if you know where the go-karts are, the electric electric go-karts on that big roundabout where Wentworth Avenue meets up with Canberra Avenue and then down to the Fishwick Markets. But we've had lots of sandwich boards out with beautiful, colourful murals telling people where to come in. But beyond that, I can't emphasise enough where it's no experience necessary. Mm. We don't mind if you come in and spend the whole hour and sort five lids. For us, that's not the point. It's having somewhere where you can come, feel socially engaged and feel like there's meaningful activity that you can do to help the planet be rid of small, excruciatingly small microplastics.
Yeah, and there is plenty of parking, but if you don't have a car to drive, there are buses that run along Canberra Avenue there, and it's a little walk. It's not a long walk. It's probably, I don't know, a couple of hundred metres at the most from nearest bus stop.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we get a lot of people cycling in. We get a lot of people walking in. And it really doesn't matter where you are as far as coming in from, because if you really want to get involved, but you want to come in, we have enough volunteers through our Facebook. We've got over 4,000 members on our Facebook page. So if you look up Lids for Kids ACT, and we get posts every week that say, hey, I'd love to come and volunteer at your markets this weekend, but I can't get out. Someone will give you a ride. Although I might say, hey, I've heard you've got lots of blue lids that need to be sorted by size and type, because it's not just colour sorting. For us to be able to recycle a product, a plastic lid into another product, we also have to sort it by the number. And we're not asking people at home to do that. We're not even asking volunteers that come into the hub to do that. But if once you've had your fill of colour sorting and you want to do the next level, if we might have 10,000 lids between us here, Glenn, that are all pink, we would then have to separate them between which ones are high-density polyethylene, number two, low-density polyethylene, which is number four, or polypropylene, which is number five. The problem we have is that the recycle triangle that we're all familiar with, it's been out since the 80s, it's still a voluntary code of practice. So not even every lid has the triangle, and even if they do have the triangle, it's so small that no human eye can see it, let alone read the number. So we don't tell people, oh, you've got to sort by the number. We sort by type. So we'll sort by shape and size. And when people see our beautiful rainbow benches at places like Parks and Gardens or Floriata or at their local school, grown-ups might go, oh, that's a great rainbow bench. I can see the purple, the pink, the orange and the yellow in there. The kids don't. The kids identify it by brand. So they'll go, oh, there's Coke, Fanta, Sprite, Lift, chocolate milk, strawberry milk, iced coffee, because they know where the lids have come from to make that colour.
Yeah, and just interesting you going through with the chemical names of all of those things so you can actually expand your vocabulary and sound like a chemical engineer and be a real barbecue stopper, can't you?
Exactly. And one of the things that we find delightful is that once you've learnt about small plastic, you can't unlearn it. Mm. And we notice people now, they might pull up at the shopping centre and while they're walking from their car to go to Coles or Woolies or wherever, you'll see them look around and then duck down and pick up that bread tag, pick up that ring pull, pick up that lid, because we say to everyone, never miss a lid. Mm. Like if you see it on the ground, pick it up for us, because sure as heck, the next time there's a big windstorm or rainstorm, that's all going to get washed down the storm water drain and then it's going to end up in all of our beautiful lakes. So it's sometimes when people see those horrifying images on TV or YouTube of the sea turtles with plastic inside them and the whales and the ocean birds, trust me, every single living species has microplastic inside it, but there is something we can do, and that's to make sure that any product that we consume ourselves gets recycled. And better yet, when you're walking up and down the aisles of the supermarket, try and avoid it in the first place, if in any way possible. And I'm not a salesman for those drinks where like SodaStream, say for example, don't buy a case of Coke. If you really need a bubble drink, maybe get a SodaStream so that you can use the syrup and get bottles that can be reused over and over again. And the great thing with kids is they learn young. Every single school kid in the country knows to take their own water bottle to school. It's just a shame that once we all become adults, we forget about that. Yeah. And so when we are walking around an event, we find ourselves buying that plastic bottle of water or buying that soft drink. I try now to carry a water bottle everywhere I go. It's just such a simple way to save, not only buying unnecessary teas and coffees and soft drinks while you're out, but not having to consume that plastic. Mm. And at the risk of sounding like a tall poppy, I guess, we've been very successful with all of our volunteers has enabled me to get nominated for things like I've been Volunteer of the Year here in Canberra and lucky enough to get one of the Australian Year Awards for Local Hero. When we get an award like that, that's on behalf of tens of thousands of us that do it. But it just shows everyone that it's not just a bread tag, it's not just a lid. That little bit that you're doing in Theodore or down here in Richardson, it does make a massive difference when we all put it together.
Mm, okay, now our time is going to run out. We could keep going for hours. I could go on about this forever. We'll obviously have a longer conversation off air at some point. Let's finish up.
Yep.
I'm sure there's a story about the van.
Oh, yes, yeah. So you might have seen, we go to a lot of events and we have a van that was donated to us by the Lions Club of Canberra City, and it was bright white. I'm a Holden fan, so it was a Ford. So the first thing I had to do was say, well, I don't want parents to see me driving around in a Ford. Mm. So we said, let's do a mural on the van. And so you might have seen this lids van driving around Canberra that's covered in 8,000 squeezy pouch yogurt lids, those little round ones that you see on the end of these. And I blame NASA for this. When my kids were young, we ate yogurt out of a little plastic tub with a spoon. Now it's in one of these little toothpaste type tubes that you squirt into your mouth. But those lids that come off it, they look like a little mushroom, and so they're too hard for us to shred, so we can't turn them into furniture. But we give them back by the millions to schools and daycares and kindies for big beautiful wall murals. But we thought we'd walk the walk. Somebody challenged me one Easter to say, how about over the Easter holidays you do a mural? So if you see it, it's got a beautiful rainbow across the front. It's got, because I've still run a race car, we still do our Outback charity rally, so I still love my motorsport. We've got red flames down the side, we've got the beautiful Japanese the wave from centuries ago on there, we've got a sea turtle, and on the other side planet Earth from space disintegrating into microplastic down the side. So if you see the van, please honk and wave. Maybe not honk, I think that's a $300 fine for unnecessary honking, but certainly a wave. But it's more of a trigger to get, it's a conversation starter to say, why have you got lids on your van? And we go, well, we found out lids don't get recycled. And 10 times out of 10 when we mentioned that to someone, they go, what do you mean lids don't get recycled? They go back on the bottle. And it's not until people, where we have the time to explain to them, that if you put your lid back on the bottle, when it goes into the recycling truck, they compress it under hundreds of tons worth of pressure and all the lids pop off. But even the ones that make it to the recycling centre with the lid still on, they then squash all of the PET clear plastic together into one big cube under hundreds of tons of pressure, and the lids pop off then too. And at the end of the day, people can compare the sorting that we do at Lids for Kids. We do it all by hand. But at the recycling centre, they're doing it with a tractor. So if a tractor can't pick up that bread tag, that lid, that bulldog clip, that nut and bolt and screw and whatnot, it stays on the ground and it goes to landfill. So we love driving that van to all of our events and every day around Canberra when we're dropping off new benches that have been bought by schools, because people see it and it always makes people smile. I think that's the thing I love about it, is they might think it's Lego at first until they see it close up. But the other challenging thing, if you are thinking of doing a mural yourself, please contact Lids for Kids. We have literally millions upon millions of these beautiful lids that would look great as a mural for art and craft, that we use the strongest glue, Selly's Extra Duty Heavy Duty Liquid Nails. It still takes 3 minutes of holding that lid on the van before it sets. So even though the van's got 8,000 lids on it, that probably represents about 300 hours work. So we were very lucky. We also got donated a big trailer from Carpet One, so that we can now collect all of our wheelie bins. So if you're out there listening and you've got a small business or you work in a government department or a school, the little zero waste warrior tubs we do that are 10 litres, we do a full 240-litre wheelie bin for workplaces. We drop those off with our van and the trailer. Carpet One donated the trailer on the condition that we also put a mural on it. So I know that's going to be my next 2 years doing the mural on that as well.
Excellent. All right. Any final words?
Just thank you to everyone that volunteers. Thank you to everyone that rescues plastic, and please go to our website, sign up for your own tub, because our goal is to get one of these zero waste warrior tubs in every household. If you're not tech savvy enough to go to lidsforkids.org.au, please just pop in and see us next to the Fishwick markets, and we can set you up with your first tub. And then once you've got it, as I mentioned, we've got 30 swap and go locations all around Canberra that you can do it, and you can share it with your friends and family, your neighbours, you can share it at work. We just want you to be able to have a mechanism to be able to rescue this stuff for us.
Excellent. Thank you, Tim. Okay, that's been Tim Millis, founder and CEO and everything else for Lids for Kids.